Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
You should be glad to be anywhere God wants you to be. Now, some keep asking me, why in the world would you come from a great big old church and come to Pine Ridge? Because I want to be where God is and where God wants me to be. Okay? And if we are Christians like we say we are, we want to be faithful to God. And it doesn't matter the size of your church. It matters the content and the character of your heart. And that's what we're going to focus on. Growing ministries. I like making disciples. I let God worry about the numbers. If you make disciples, you will grow as an individual. If you grow as an individual and you have a servant's heart, you will make disciples. So we need to concentrate on growth. Amen. We need to concentrate on growth. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if this time and all this makes you uncomfortable, I'll take it off. I'm just used to wearing it. I don't care one bit about what you're wearing as long as you're wearing something. Okay. There you go. Loosen up a little bit. It's very important that you have a heart that is molded after it has been formed by God. When you were born, you began to die. And without the gracious mercy of God, the grace and the goodness of God, you would have remained under the wrath of God until your last breath on this earth. And then you would have been whisked off into eternity, into the ultimate pit of destruction that we call the lake of fire, burning brimstone, under the guise of the Lord himself. You know, I've told you this, everybody keeps talking about the devil's hell. Now the devil will be in hell, but it's not his hell. It's God's hell. So we need to understand that what we're about is the most joyous, most fulfilling, most blessed thing that you could possibly do is for God to call you out of your sin, make you into a child of God, and declare you a witness to him and for him to the uttermost parts of the earth. You should have a servant's heart. Now he warned us about it. If you look in Revelation 3, you find that Jesus was speaking of the different characteristics of church, the right characteristics and the wrong, and he comes to the church at Laodicea. Everybody know the story of that one? Well, then I'm going to tell you. I see you don't remember. Laodicea, he gets there, and he has just praised the other church. When he gets to Laodicea, he says, I have this against you. You're neither cold nor hot. You're lukewarm. You're lukewarm. He says, now you, basically, as I paraphrase, you are not pleasing to me. You're not acceptable to me like that. I'd rather you much be cold completely or hot completely on fire for God or completely lost in your sin, for in those two extreme circumstances, I've got your attention. I can get your full attention. But when you are pleasantly satisfied in the wealth that you have attained on your own, the status that you have attained on your own. You heard it saying a self-made man or a self-made woman, right? You do know there's no such thing, right? Whether you have or you have not, it is by the grace of God. So it is the foolish ideology of the world that you can make of yourself something that you cannot ever be for eternity. Only God can do that. So he tells him, I wish you much more in chapter 3, that you would spend your money on the fine things of God, the gold and the silver and the things that I can give you, that you would be pleasing, that you would not be blind to the word of God, that you would not be numb to the power of God's word, but that you could be able to see and to receive and that you might have life. But he says, because you will not, I will vomit. The word actually in Greek is stronger than spew. It actually means he would regurgitate. It is so displeasing to him that he will not have you in him, nor will he be in you. He would vomit us out of his mouth, that we would be cast aside. But Paul gives us a picture here that is entirely different. If you look at it here in Romans, we're going to read it, then we're going to study and listen to what the Lord has to say. Are you a servant? Are you listening? that he's going to speak to you. I'm not speaking to you, I'm only the messenger boy. So you need to be listening and praying to the Holy Spirit that you will hear. We're in Romans chapter 1. I haven't done this till today, but I'm going to do it. Don't get afraid. I usually make you stand. You know that's a biblical tradition, right? The word is read, you should stand in honor of the reading of the word. So I'm going to ask you to do that this morning, and you can follow along in your text as I read. Romans 1, verses 8 through 15 says this. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may know at last, now at last, succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far I've been prevented, in order that I may reach some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are here by your drawing and your calling. And you set us out, God, that we might be under the voice of you, the Holy Spirit. Now we pray, God, that you would teach us. Lord, clear our minds, cleanse our hearts, that we might hear you, we might receive you, we might know you deeper. And Lord, more meaningful and more power. And we make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We will do nothing that we do not have a burning desire and a passion for. If you read the Gospels, you find that in those we mentioned in that reading of the passion of the Christ, his intense longing and desire to do the Father's will. John's Gospel is probably the richest when it comes to talking about spirituality, of what it means to be born again. You know the story when Jesus is teaching and he comes to Nicodemus, the great Pharisee, and he speaks to him and he mentions being born again, and he's trying to draw Nicodemus away from the physical up to the spiritual. He might see that life is beyond this mortal body, is more than what we can attain through our birth or through our growth as a human being. We must have the gift and the blessing and the work of God in us that we might be and become what he intends for us to be. If anyone ever saw that, it was the great apostle Paul. You remember the story. He has a deep, abiding longing and desire to serve the very same people that he was putting to death and often imprisoning in his ministry before the Lord came to him and touched his mind, first of all. You remember he didn't stop him on the Damascus Road, knock him off his horse and say, "Hey, Saul, how does that feel?" No, he doesn't ask him that. And he speaks to Saul the very first thing and he says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he says, "Who are you, Lord?" Do you think he's got his attention? He didn't say, "Who are you, Spirit?" He didn't say, "What's happened to me?" He knew what had happened. Let me tell you something. When you enter into the presence of Almighty God, and he makes his presence known to you, you know who he is. And at that point, and at that intersection of time, you have to make your decision whether or not you're going to hear as he opens your ears, and whether or not you're going to see when he opens your eyes, and then when he willingly offers you his grace through his mercy, if you're going to act through the heart that he can give you. We know the imperative that he asks for us, and it changes us. Look at Paul and how it changed. Have you ever read the epistle to the Philippian church? Paul has such a burning desire and the love of God in him that he never knew or never had before he was changed and transformed. He was a different man. You remember when he first went into town, and the man that he was sent to that was to assist him until his sight came back was scared to death of him. And even when he first went to Jerusalem to the church, they didn't want to have anything to do with him because they were looking at what? The old man, were they not? They were looking at the earthly. They hadn't had the connection and the connectivity of the Holy Spirit. They haven't gone to this place of unanimity that comes when we are born again and one in the Spirit of God. But you see it in Paul. In Philippians, listen to what he says. I thank God, my God, in all my remembrances of you. Now, you do know he has some bad church members, don't you? You're supposed to laugh, brother. But you notice he includes everybody. I thank my God always in my remembrances of all of you. Why? Because he had a servant heart. The heart that only God can give you. The heart that God creates in you so that you have a burning desire. Paul was on fire and he had his heart set on fire in the Nabataean desert when the Holy Spirit took him out to train him and equip him. People said, well, Saul didn't go to seminary. Yes, he did. And he had the greatest teacher of them all, the Lord himself. For 3 years he kept him in the desert. Under the thumb of the watch of the holiness and the omniscience of God. Pouring into him the knowledge that it requires for us to see, for us to know, for us to receive all that God is. You understand what he's doing here? I remember you all. He says, always in every prayer of mine, were you always making my prayers with joy. Now, you got to work on that one, right? I know. There's some folks you pray for because you have to, but it ain't a joy to you. I ain't going to get you there. But he says you must pray with the intensity and the interjection of the Holy Spirit, and then it will be a joy to you because you know the God that has the power to make a difference. You believe it. Now, sometimes we pray endlessly about the same thing, don't we? But don't take this personal. But if you keep praying about the very same thing all the time, you didn't believe it the first time you prayed about it. Right? How many times do you write, look at the gospel, and find where the Lord prayed over and over about the same thing? That's your challenge. Go find it for me. You can't find it. When he acknowledged the circumstance, when he dealt with the circumstance, he knew that he was in the Master's hand, his Father. He knew what God had set him apart for, justified and sanctified in the deity of who he was, and he believed with all of his heart that the Father was working out his will. Not my will, Father, but your will be done. You know what he said? And we have to do the very same thing. You're not going anywhere that God does not ordain. You're not going through anything that he has not ordained. Not what he wishes. He doesn't wish bad on anybody. But he ordains all things or he wouldn't have it. He ordained the existence of the devil, of his evil. And through that work, he can rectify mankind to the conformity of his holiness and his righteousness because we see the spread, the contrast and the difference in a good God and an evil devil. Paul talks about that. He says, and I'm sure of this. You know what's coming down. I know, he says, that he who began a good work in you, he says there, will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a confident heart, is it not? Now this man has been through hell on earth. Don't you go tell the preacher was cussing. I'm just telling you what happened in the Bible. He has been shipwrecked 3 times. At sea, overnight, a day and a night. Now, they didn't have no lifeboats and these jackets for him to get on. He had to do the best he could. But he was sustained and kept by what? By the power of God. Because when God has a plan for you, he sees it to the end. That's comforting, is it not, brothers and sisters? That's comforting. That God has a plan for you. God has a plan for us as a body. and the body is made up of individual parts. The church will be what she is intended to be when we become like he intended for us to be, a functioning part of the body. Now you'd have a hard time if your hands and your arms didn't function right. We wouldn't be as big as we are, I can tell you that. Because you couldn't do this. Now I want to turn you over to the spiritual side. We will not in any way halt what God has intended, but we will miss the joy and the blessing of being a part of what he intended for us to be. You see, nothing can thwart, can stop, can change the outcome of God and his will. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So we know then that we must look to him and attain to what he has given us. Now I want to show you a few things here in the next 45 minutes. I'm just kidding with you. I want to show you some things about a servant's heart that you see in Paul. It's not my idea. It's not what I come up with. It's right there in the scripture in front of me. Now look at verse 8. The first thing you see is that he lauded over the people. Lauded means to express with goodness and graciousness and an absolute desire for the best of those that are around him. Look at what he says. First, now I'm an old country boy, I'm not real smart, but I know what first means. It means first. So the very first thing he mentions here is that you must be thankful. You must be passionate. You must be intentional in who you are and what you're doing to the very God that created you and saved you. He says the very first thing for me is that I thank my God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for all of you. That because your faith is proclaimed out throughout all the world. You notice why he's so thankful. Because of the work that God has done and the presence of God in their life. Now if you go to the languages, it deals with the logos, the logic, the knowledge, the word of God. You'll never know God until he has transformed you by the renewing of your mind. That's what he says. You can have all of the energetic feelings. You can jump up and down. Somebody said, you don't move much. I'm too smart to be jumping up and running all around. The Bible tells you, you must know God. Know who he is and what he's done. And when you know what you know, you know what you know. When you know what you know, it for good. Nobody will ever change your mind. I've had people tell me, and I've been preaching over 30 years, you're burning your candle at both ends, you're going to burn it out, and you tell me how you put out the fire of God. Somebody please tell me how you do that. You can't do that. Now, we might put it out. Now, I know you never do that. But we could be a hindrance instead of an asset. Why does Paul want to go to Rome so bad when now the Catholics tell us St. Peter built his church? Did not. Church began before Peter ever even thought about doing it. It came from those that were there when the sermon was preached. And the 3,000 were added in one day. And they transversed back to their homeland. And they began their little groups together. And they were studying. And Paul has such a desire for Christians. You understand that? You listen closely. He had such a love and a desire for the Christians that he wanted to go there and teach them. He wanted them to know the deeper things of God. They had enough to be saved, but they didn't have enough to move forward. They didn't have what they needed doctrinally. And they didn't have nothing that they needed that they would know the true doctrines of God so that they could make disciples. Churches don't die. People die. People die when they decide to walk away from God and not be obedient to the word. Look at the difference in Paul. Everywhere he went, if he listened to the people, he would have went back home and quit. You notice he never did. He kept praying and giving thanks to them because he was excited about it. He was appreciative of the people. I've had people tell me, I don't like your preaching. Well, it's okay. They didn't like Jesus. Everybody doesn't like the same thing. But you notice that Paul includes everybody. That's what I do. Somebody says, well, what do you do when they criticize? I just put my arm around them, hug them, tell them I love them, keep going. Everybody is somebody in God's body. But you listen to me. When we're focused on the Lord and we get our eyes off on ourselves, it is then that we change. Everybody says, well, how can I change myself? You can't. How can I change my church? You can't. It never was given to you in the first place. Find me one place in this book that it says it's your church. Find me one place. You can't find it, can you? Because the Lord distinctively says, it's mine. It's mine. You remember in Matthew 16, right? I name you today, Peter Cephas. And upon this faith, he's talking about it, upon this rock, this immovable will and faith of God, I will build Pine Ridge Baptist Church.
Oh, yes.
I will build my church.
Amen.
My church. Now, I want you to understand what that means. He has included us into a very intrinsic, personal, intimate place with him. He's drawn us into the very wealth of who he is. I want you to be excited about being a child of God. It's more than my name written on a roll or my name being mentioned in light of something that people have done. It's all about being associated and belonging to God. Paul understood that. And he mentions this word again, this doulos. I am obligated. The same root word for slave. Doulos, I'm obligated, not out of anxiety, but out of excitement to do what God had called him to do. So he was praising and thankful to the people. He wasn't satisfied and happy because some of them were giving him a hard time. He was excited that they were under the inspiration of the word. He appreciated them being faithful in their ministry, and he speaks about how he is accepting of who they are and that he is righteously excited because they are proclaiming their faith throughout the world. You know what your faith proclaimed is, don't you? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the gospel. It's the seed of life that he has planted in your life and in your heart. That's what he's talking about that has extended to the world. They've taken their faith, their gospel, to the world. I've had people say, well, you know, God's plan A is that he redeemed us and makes us his witnesses and sends us out into the world. And they said, well, you know, I don't know, is there a plan B? There is no plan B. That's it. So we first must be thankful. The second thing he tells us in verses 9 and 10 is that we must have a longing to help those around us. We must have a longing for the body of Christ to be a servant to that. For God is my witness. God is my witness. Did you catch what he said? He's talking about the intensity of the observation and being under the watchful eye of God, that he is so intense about it that he knows that everything he does, every breath he takes, every day that he spends, he knows that he's under the witness of God to his life. You do know in Revelation there's two books, right? The book of life and the book of eternal life. The book of eternal life is your soul is signed in the blood of Christ and you're there forever. The other one is every tick-tock of the clock, every day that you live, every breath that you take is under his watchful eye. And the things you do that you shouldn't do and the things you don't do that you should be doing is written down. You will give an account of every single one. That's in Paul's heart here. So he longs to be faithful. That's a servant's heart. Now we know that Paul wasn't always faithful, right? He even says one time, man, sometimes I do what I know I shouldn't do. Oh, wretched man that I am. But when he clarifies and he describes himself as wretched, he's remembering that he's still a work in progress. Who will save me from this body of death? Well, he knows who that is, right? It's the Lord God. All his deeds, all his work, and you're talking about a smart cat now. Now, Paul was a smart man. He spoke three languages. He could recite the Torah to you. He knew it by heart. But you think that saved him? No, you go back to the Damascus Road. What saved him was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what saved him. And then God took his intellect, his gift. God took it and put it to use. Look how he transformed the world. Not Paul, but the Lord Jesus Christ, because he gave him a servant's heart. Saul was a Pharisee. Brigand, associated with the Sadducees. But God turned all that around. And he was the last man on the face of the earth that the church in Jerusalem would have ordained. You understand what I'm telling you? That's what God does. Because he takes you from where you are to where you can only be in him. And then you praise God for the body. You ought to be thankful for each other. I don't mean hug me when you see me and then talk about me when I'm not there. He's talking about being thankful regardless. You notice he hadn't gotten to Rome yet. He's been wanting to go and things have obstructed him, have stopped him, and he hasn't gotten there, but he's still in love with those people, desiring that he could serve the Master, that they might receive the fruits of the Spirit. He wanted people to come to the Lord. He wanted to teach them doctrine and theology about God. He knew that they were hungering for it. And so he begins to write this great treatise that he wrote this letter of the authority and the power of God. Then he tells us in verses 11 and 13 that not only has he lauded, has he praised them, and not only does he long to be there, not only was he going to everyone he could to tell about the gospel, he preached everywhere. Are you doing that? Are you telling everyone that will listen? Don't answer me, but you've got to give an answer. You do know that, right? As Paul said, God is my witness. You guess who's your witness today? Don't guess. It's God. You understand what I'm telling you? You're making a decision today. You're giving a yes or no every time the Word of God is read. If I didn't say a word, I just stood up and read the Bible, and all I'm doing is exegeting the text. That's it. Somebody said, where's your note? Right here. Here's my note. Because the Lord says, you hide this word in your heart, and you will know and you will not sin against him. Intentionally is what he's talking about. You must know that you know what you know. You must praise and give God the glory even when people aren't what they should be. We're humans under the watchful eye of God, under the passionate heart of our Lord, and we're the clay in the Master's hand. And he's wanting to make of us a servant. Not just talking about being a servant. Anybody can talk about it. I can throw a football better than Tom Brady ever thought about it. I sit there and say, you didn't see that man, he was wide open. We got too much of that going on in church. Well, that preacher thinks he knows everything. No, but I do know one, do they? I do know that God saved that others might be saved. Listen to me. He didn't save us to settle on our laurels, our accomplishments, our degrees, our things that we have accomplished and certificates that people have written us. I couldn't care less about it. My daughter fussed me out about that. I never hung up a diploma until about, 10 years ago? She fussed at me all the time. Dad, you've done all you've done. I said, that's the problem. That's the reason I don't hang them up. Because they're always talking about what you did. I don't care about what I've done. I want you to know what God has done. You hear what I'm telling you? I want you to know what God has done. God is so great that He overcame your sin. You hear me? If you trust Him and you believe Him, that's how you come to be a servant like Paul. You notice that Paul testifies to the fact that what he received, he got from no man. You ever notice that in his testimony of his witness of who he is? What I know, who I am, and what I do, I receive not from man, but directly from the Lord. Now, lean forward. Same thing is going to happen to you if you get to know me. I might be the one preaching, but you're not going to learn a thing until He opens your eyes, opens your mind, and implants it in your heart. And when He does it, it will last. Your fire will never burn out. Never. Because no one can put out the fires of God. You remember the story of the menorah when they didn't have enough oil for one day and it burned for 8 days? Why have we forgotten that our God is a God of forever? The God of sustenance and sustaining us and carrying us and doing in us and doing for us that which we cannot do. Paul says he loved them. He had a loving spirit. Look what he says, verse 9. Though I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. He's talking about a loving spirit that he wants to disciple them. I live to teach the word of God. Nothing excites me more than that. What could possibly be better than to grow nearer and dearer to your Lord? What could possibly match that? There's no possession, no accomplishment, nothing you can do that can even come close to that. You know how you get that burning desire? Well, the Lord told us, did He not? In Luke, seek you first the kingdom of God. All these other things that you think is so important, don't worry about it. I'll just throw them in. Just throw them in. You'll be cared for. You'll be taken care of. But I must have your heart, a servant's heart. That's what you got to have. Paul had it. He loved. He had a humble spirit about him because he wanted to make disciples and equip them. That's all I care about. I don't care about anything else. I want you to know and grow and go and do what He told us to do. That's what we're going to do. We either go hand in hand laughing or we're going to go kicking and screaming because I'm moving forward. You understand what I'm telling you? We're moving forward. God didn't put us here to be satisfied with where we're at. You should never be satisfied. Glory blesses me all the time. This is my tool, right now. Because I'm so passionate about things. You notice how laid back I am, right? You have to be passionate. Craig and I played basketball in Urbana. I used to be out there in the rain. Everybody else would go in, I'd still shoot. Still shooting. Everybody said, how do you learn to shoot like that? Well, God just touched me on the head. No, you didn't. You practice. You have to have a passion for it. You have to stay with it. The same thing is true. God tests us. Malachi said so. He tests us to see if our heart is what we say it is. But we want to pray one time, Lord, fill this place up. When you get right with God, and you start doing what He says, He will add to His church. It's His church. It don't matter where you're at. This is not bragging, it's just the truth. The church I left, everybody says, well, yeah, it's a big church. It must be in the city. Look, you're not even country compared to where I come from. you listening to me? People were spread out down here. I mean, Richard knows what I'm talking about. They're spread out. But you listen to me. When God takes over and we get out of the way, it don't matter where you're at. It matters if God is there. You understand what I'm telling you? I love you. You'll never have a pastor love you more than this one. But I love you enough that I'll tell you the truth. Even if it hurts, I'll tell you the truth. And that's what I'm doing today. Amen, Pastor. Thank you. You understand what you're saying here? The Lord is speaking through the pen of Paul. It's the Lord writing. We know that. It's Him doing it. Because He wants you to have the fullness of everything that He's ever promised, prophesied. Colossians says you so in the very opening of His letter. The riches of the kingdom of heaven, they're ours now. What are we waiting around for? When that is burning in us and we go out and talk to someone, you ain't got to convince them. The Lord will do it. The Lord will do it. But you got to go. And I know we live it. You know, I've heard this one for over 30 years, but you've heard this. Well, I'm not much on talking about it. I just live it. Well, you're a failure if that's all you do. Tell you, I tell you the truth. There's nowhere in this book that you can find where it says you just go out there and make sure you're living right and people will flock to the house of God. Find that boy. You know what he says? Go ye therefore to all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, making disciples. Now, you wouldn't want me as a preacher long if I just stood up here and looked at you. I'm just going to live the gospel for you. I'm just going to stand here. You know everything I'm thinking, right? If I don't say anything, right? No, you don't. The same thing is true with the path that the Lord gives you and the people that you intersect. You hear me? You've got to talk to people. And here's the thing that Satan don't want you to know. They want to know what you know. I've never been totally cursed out one side, down one side, up the other one, but twice in over 30 years. And one lady laid me out, I'm telling you. And she didn't get another first time, so she did it again. Twice I can remember that ever happened. And all the years, Richard, I've been talking to you, you know what I'm talking about. Because people are longing to meet God. You hear me? They want answers. I was talking to Jordan about it. We say, well, how do we reach young people? With answers. Answers. They need answers to life. Well, we're going to do some things, but programs won't make people convert and stay here and long for God. Programs don't do it. It's a person that does. It's Jesus Christ. You tell me how you're going to implement a program, and there ain't nobody here. Think about it. Here's the fourth thing. I've been teaching this a long time. You pray. You must be a praying people. That's by His design. Right? You must prepare. Everybody says plan. You can't plan until you're ready. You must pray, prepare, plan, perform. Pray, prepare, plan, perform. You must pray for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit unto eternal life. You must then submit yourself. You must be prepared. You must be a praying person, a person that is with a servant's heart that is caught up in Him. Then you can go about planning. You prepared yourself because you know the will. If you do anything and is not ordained by this book, you may as well be whistling Dixie. It will not last. But the things you do based on this will last how long? Forever. Forever. It don't matter what age you are. I hear that all the time. Caleb, he didn't start till he was 80. It doesn't matter what age you are. It has nothing to do with it. It matters the condition you're in. The condition spiritual. We've got to move on. I know it's too after. I see it. And then he's led. We'll wrap it up in the last two verses. He's lauding for the people. He's longing for the people. He's loving the people. And now he's led by God to grow the people. I am under obligation. The word he uses there for obligation, the root word of it is tobos. I told you that a while ago. The very word that he uses for bond service. In other words, he can't say no. He's so controlled by God. He's so obsessed with God. And God has him in the grips of his spiritual will that he cannot say no. I'm under obligation, he said, by the Holy Spirit. With these things, to witness to all is what he's talking about. He's been delegated by God. Did you know that when he saved you, he did that? He made you a delegate of the high court of God. And he says, both to the Greek and to the barbarian. That's everybody. That includes everybody, right? You were a Roman, you were a Greek, or you were a Gentile. And he's including them all. Both to the wise and to the foolish. Everybody has to have a Savior and a Lord to make it to heaven. Doesn't matter how smart you are. You see, he points that out here. Doesn't matter if you're wise, you still got to be saved. Doesn't matter if you're foolish, you still got to be saved. You see how he's incorporating that. And then he says, so I am compelled, I am eager. The word from the root word, kapios, means compel. I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. He's obligated by God under the guise of the Holy Spirit to do it. And you listen to it. We're done. When God tells you to do it and you know Him as your Lord and Savior, you're going to do it. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, as long as you play church, oh, you won't do anything what you want to do. That's just fact. I was saved when I was 27. I was baptized the first time when I was 13. I could quote Bible scriptures to you. I could tell you what you wanted to hear if you didn't know much. And most of the people in my own church didn't know much. They baptized me, I went away and sat down, and they forgot all about me. That cannot last. You must make disciples. But when I met the Lord, boy, did things change. I was a church member, and I was a CEO Christian. Anybody know what that is? Christmas, Easter, and other special occasions. But folks, you listen to me. I was lost. I was lost as a goose in a snowstorm. Lost. Jesus came. Jesus came. Listening to me? He gave me a new heart. Servant's heart. I didn't serve nobody but myself up until that point. But that all changed. Just like that. And you'll do the same for you. Where are you today? Now, if you're so proud that you don't think you need anything, you might not. But Satan wants you to sit there and he wants you to grip the back of that pew and just, you know, be your own man and your own woman. He wants you to think that. But the Lord said, if you know me not before men, and you confess me, I'll know you not before my Father in heaven. Folks, that's serious, serious, serious statement. You hear me? So what are you going to do? You ain't got to tell me anything. But you have to tell the Lord. And you have to tell Him. If you're going to change and there's something you need to work on today, make it today. Amen? Let's stand for prayer in our invitation. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to this moment all by Your design and Your word. Now I ask, Lord, that You have Your way and Your will as we sing together. Lord, just cause us to move, come to Your altar. Lord, You work what You need to do in Christ our Lord's name. We pray. Amen.